there are definitely some responsible actors in this area who are turning to, you know, gold mining as a source of livelihood, as a way to improve their economic circumstances. And we recognize that. But unfortunately, there are big chunks of the ASGM supply chain that often are associated with things like using mercury to extract gold, which is highly toxic, or exploitative labor practices, or selling gold into the wrong hands, whether it's criminals or terrorists or mercenaries.
Welcome to The Greener Way. I'm your host, Michelle Baltazar, Executive Director of Media at FS Sustainability. We are recording on Gadigal land, and we pay our respects to the traditional custodians of country and elders past and present. In our studio today is Xiao Kai Fan, Head of Asia Pacific ex-China and Global Head of Central Banks at the World Gold Council, or WGC. Xiao Kai previously worked as an international economist for the U.S. Treasury Department and has held past roles in capital markets and investment banking. Xiao Kai, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
For those who are not familiar with the World Gold Council, can you tell us what role it plays in the market and how it engages with central banks?
The World Gold Council is a nonprofit organization focused on enhancing and improving the gold market. And that includes various different work streams, but I think probably the most important is building awareness and understanding of gold among anybody who's interested in investing in gold or just wanting to know more about gold. As the global head of our central banks team, it's my job to interact with central banks all around the world so that they can understand gold as a reserve asset better, so that enables them to understand what they're investing in better, and ultimately to help protect their economies more with gold as part of their reserve portfolios.
And some basic facts for our listeners who are not in the world of investments. So we have a lot of listeners as well who play a sustainability role in listed companies. What is the gold price now and how has it increased in the last, I don't know, 2-3 years?
It's been really an astounding year for gold. I think I checked the gold price just before we came in. It was about $4,350 per ounce. And in U.S. dollar terms, it's up over 60% year to date. Over the past several years, it's up well more than that because we passed $3,000 an ounce, I think, in March or April of this year. And we passed $2,000 an ounce maybe a year or two before this as well. So it's been really a tremendous ride for gold.
And because of that, I believe that the council has created a framework around responsible gold mining principles, especially with so much at stake. I'm going into the world of slang now, but gold is truly the OG of all asset classes. So what are the key pillars of the so-called Responsible Gold Mining Principles framework?
So the Responsible Gold Mining Principles, the RGMPs, was a very important step forward for the gold mining industry. So a little bit more background about the World Gold Council. We actually have over 30 mining companies, gold mining companies, as our members. And now a requirement to become a member of the World Gold Council is compliance with the RGMPs. So the RGMPs, they span a lot of different principles, but let me focus primarily on responsible gold sourcing. Responsible gold sourcing means that the signatories of the RGMPs must have transparent ways of knowing that they're not using dangerous chemicals or dangerous practices to extract gold from the land, that they have proper safety checks and proper documentation in place when they source gold as well.
Now, I pulled up some stats before this discussion that we're having on responsible gold sourcing, and I'm astounded at how huge this area of responsible gold sourcing and particularly artisanal gold small scale mining, or ASM for short.
Yeah, it's a mouthful. Artisanal and small scale gold mining.
I'm tripping over the term. But essentially, artisanal miners produce 15% of global cobalt supply, 5% of copper, and we're talking about 20% of the global gold supply, 20% of diamonds, and 80% of sapphires. The reason I'm throwing these numbers around is just to say that, my goodness, this is not just a small part of the market. It's actually a bigger part of the market than that most super fund investors or institutional investors in Australia don't know about. But is it fair to say that this is something that is now being taken seriously within your community?
Absolutely. Artisanal small-scale gold mining, or ASGM, is an area of the gold market that has grown significantly. And you mentioned a lot of estimates put it now at 20% of total newly mined gold supply. And that's a very significant chunk. You can imagine with the gold price now being so high, it's really caused a proliferation of artisanal small-scale gold production. And I think first and foremost, we should probably clarify that not all ASGM is bad. There are definitely some responsible actors in this area who are turning to, you know, gold mining as a source of livelihood, as a way to improve their economic circumstances. And we recognize that. But unfortunately, there are big chunks of the ASGM supply chain that often are associated with things like using mercury to extract gold, which is highly toxic, or exploitive labor practices, or selling gold into the wrong hands, whether it's criminals or terrorists or mercenaries. You know, this is becoming a growing issue, unfortunately, but the World Gold Council recognizes that this is an important issue for us to address. And we're squarely focused on trying to improve this part of the gold supply chain through various different initiatives.
Now, one of the trends here in Australia, and I know that you're visiting this month for a mining conference, is that super funds are investing directly in assets. Do you see that this market could potentially be a market that they could invest in?
It isn't really separated out in terms of being classified as a different type of gold at the level of the retail or institutional investor. I mean, there are some areas, let's say there are some initiatives out there that say that they use artisanal small-scale gold that's been responsibly sourced. That usually goes into things like watches and jewelry. So when you're talking about investment purposes, there isn't usually a distinct category. But I do think that it is important for investors to understand that ASGM is a part of the gold market, and there are initiatives being undertaken right now to try to improve this part of the gold supply chain.
So what are those ways, and if you like, innovation, to almost make this more of a trustworthy area of the market?
So the World Gold Council is tackling ASGM issues through three broad areas. The first is traceability, which is basically investing in new technology that can allow you to identify whether a piece of gold has come from mine site A or mine site B. If you know that mine site A is land that is permitted for gold extraction, for instance, then at least you know that this was sourced with some legal sanction. Whereas if you know that mine site B is on illegal land, then automatically you know that this gold has come from somewhere where it shouldn't have come from. So that's a very simplified explanation of saying that we're working on various ways to improve traceability from the very beginning of when gold is dug out of the ground across the entire supply chain. Another main initiative that we're working on is trying to have more processing plants. That is actually, you know, the first step for refining gold. I mentioned that mercury is a big problem for ASGM. So actually, there are other chemicals you can use that are much less dangerous than mercury that actually improve the amount of gold that you can extract from the ore. The thing is that, you know, access to these types of technologies and this type of chemical process is not that widespread. So the World Gold Council is working with a number of different actors, including international organizations and governments, to try to have these types of processing plants be more widespread. The third part is actually finding responsible buyers. And that actually is part of the ASGM workstream that I'm personally most involved in as global head of central banks. There are many central banks around the world that actually have programs where they buy artisanal small-scale gold that's mined in their own country directly, and they bring that gold into their official reserves. So basically, they're able to boost their official reserves through domestic mining. But at the same time, because they can be very large-scale and visible buyers of this gold, they can require a lot more responsible sourcing to happen, right? They can basically ask or demand that gold that they're buying has been sourced responsibly as well. And also from the miner's perspective, they're dealing with a much more reputable buyer or off-taker of their gold. Instead of a criminal gang who you don't know whether or not they're going to actually live up to the transaction that you've agreed with them, you have, you know, a large, trustworthy public sector institution that publishes a price, that publishes a process for buying, and you're able to trust that if you sell to them, you know, they'll agree to the terms as published. So, you know, those are in a nutshell what we're trying to achieve, but it's a very big, very widespread program that we're trying to get underway.
It's definitely very ambitious to think about connecting the big end of town being the central banks, sovereign wealth funds, with the small-scale miners. But it's really good to hear that it is happening and WGC provides a framework for it. Now, you touched on this earlier about exploitative labor practices. Again, another concern for a lot of super funds is the S in ESG. How do we make sure that there's no such thing as modern slavery in 2025? Another piece of stat is that the sector employs about 45 million people directly compared to 7 million in industrial mining companies, and that a lot of these artisanal miners are in Africa, Asia, and Latin America, which are, if you like, sources of modern slavery or child labor. So what are you doing in that sense? How are you addressing this? Or are you also working with the central banks to make sure that the best practices are in place?
Yeah. First of all, let me say that, you know, those types of challenges are really why we're trying to improve this area of the gold market. Labor exploitation, especially things like child labor, has no place in modern gold mining, and the World Gold Council is trying its best to try to root out these issues. Let me give you an example of what we're specifically trying to do in the central bank space. Last year, we actually worked with four different central banks to pass what is called the London Principles. It has a much longer name, London Principles on Central Bank, Domestic, Artisanal, etc. So thankfully shortened to London Principles. And the inaugural signatories of that are the central banks of the Philippines, Mongolia, Ecuador, and Colombia. These principles basically state that the central banks commit themselves to very high levels of responsible sourcing, including making sure that the proper due diligence has been done to ensure that the artisanal gold that they buy has not had any exploitative labor practices like modern slavery, for instance, or child labor. And, you know, we are very enthusiastic about having central banks play a bigger and bigger role, because we really view the central banks that signed the London Principles, for instance, as a trusted circle of institutions that are doing their best to source gold responsibly, but also to instill change in the domestic mining practices of their country. Ultimately, you know, they're members of their country too. They want to see that, you know, although gold is an important resource, it has not been dug out with, you know, labor exploitation or pollution or destroying the environment.
And one last component of the whole S in the ESG is gender diversity. And 30% of artisanal miners are female, which is great to see. So are you doing any work in doing more research on how to support female miners?
So, you know, women in mining is an important part, and I think often the contributions of this group in the mining industry are a little bit overlooked. So we're working in general to make sure that the relationship between mining, whether it's small-scale mining or large-scale mining, the relationship between that and local communities is observed. As you might have known that in Australia, we released a video about the impact of mining on the communities around it in Western Australia. And actually, we're going to have an upcoming movie in that series come out about the Philippines specifically and the impact of mining there on local communities as well. So, you know, we are working on many different ways to try to make sure that different groups are being highlighted and their contribution to mining is being recognized.
Now, let's loop back to what you said earlier, which is the astonishing price increase of gold. And this is really us talking about a lot is at stake. It's gone up, and now artisanal mining accounts for 20% of that. What are the forecasts? Will this be as high as 30%, 40%? Or why is it important to make sure that we take this seriously?
So that's one of the problems with ASGM, the lack of data about it. The 20% is really an estimate by some of the international organizations. We actually don't know how much gold is coming from ASGM. We don't know how many people are actually involved. This is just general estimates. But I think I can say with certainty that if the gold price goes up and up even more, the amount of gold coming from ASGM is just going to increase, and the number of people involved in ASGM is going to increase, which means that we really need to take more action now to address this issue.
Well said. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners about this topic?
Just that the World Gold Council takes ASGM very, very seriously. We understand that it is a growing component. Our work here is not to try to stamp out ASGM. You know, we know that it's a very important source of livelihoods for millions of people around the world. But our work is to try to make sure that ASGM is done responsibly without destroying the environment or communities where it's being conducted, without exploitative labor practices, and especially without the gold going into the wrong hands. So this is an area that we are now, you know, fully focused on.
And now for the bonus round, and probably a little bit of levity, but I'm pretty sure many of our listeners are also investors in either gold ETFs or have a, you know, a little bit of money in gold-related assets. So what are the predictions on the gold price?
I'd love to tell you, but the World Gold Council, unfortunately, is not allowed to forecast the gold price. So I can't give you any more information than that, except to say that we think the fundamentals of the gold market are going to still remain very strong. Central banks, for instance, have already been very large buyers of gold for a number of years now, and we think that that's going to continue. This year, 2025, saw record-breaking inflows into gold ETFs by investors from around the world. And a lot of those investors are responding to macro conditions like falling interest rates or a weak US dollar, and of course, broader geopolitical and policy instability around the world as well. I think that those factors are probably going to persist, which means that interest in gold is just going to continue as well.
Xiaokai, once again, thanks for joining us and hope you enjoyed your visit here in Australia.
Thank you very much.
This is The Greener Way. I'm your host, Michelle Baltazar. Thank you for listening.
The Greener Way podcast is a product of FS Sustainability. All information in this podcast is for education and entertainment purposes only. It is not intended as a substitute for professional, legal, or tax advice. Before making any financial decisions, you should read the product disclosure statement, and if necessary, consult a licensed financial professional. For more information, head to the disclaimer page on the FS Sustainability website, fssustainability.com.au.